Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Peches. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Saul Peter Freund, Shaul ben Avram Tzvi Halevi. We're also learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Margie, my wife's paternal grandfather, Rav Yecheskel Shraga ben Yosef Simcha. And all the neshamas we learned from have an aliyah from our learning. We begin on Peches Amud Aleph, about 11 lines down from the top, at the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that minuchosim mishubadim, if a woman wants to go collect her kesuba from properties that had already been sold by her husband after their marriage, he had properties and he sold them, so those are all leaned for her kesuba. Now he has no money, he has no properties extant, so you're allowed to go and collect the kesuba from minuchosim mishubadim. But in that situation, you have to go and collect them with the shvua. So the Gemara continues and says, we're learning the following Mishnah in Shavuos, Tanan Hasa, we learned over there, V'chein ha-yisomim, likewise, the yisomim lo yiparu el b'shua. Yisomim, the orphans themselves, the yarshim, aren't allowed to go and collect the thing that they're trying to collect without a shvua. Now, what are we talking about? The orphans are collecting with the shvua. Miman, who are they collecting from? So they're obviously standing in the place of their Nebuch, their passed away father, their dead father, and they're trying to collect from somebody, so why would they have to make a shvua? Ilei mamilova, if their father had lent somebody money, and now they have a shtar saying that Reuven owed their father money, and they're trying to collect the money from Reuven, so why would they have to make a shvua to go collect that money from Reuven? Why would they have to make a shvua that their father never told them that it was paid back? Hashta avien shoch kubalo shvua. Their father himself would be allowed to go collect that without having to make a shvua. Ve'inu b'shvua, so we should make his orphan children have to go make a shvua in order to go collect that debt? Father has a valid document. It's authorized. It's a real document. Why would they have to go make a shvua? The father wouldn't have to make a shvua. Why should they have to make a shvua? So obviously that's not what it's talking about. This is what the Mishnah is telling us when it says the Yisomim aren't allowed to collect without making a shvua. It's talking about v'chein ha-yisomim min ha-yisomim lo yiparu el b'shvua. If their father had lent money to Reuven, but now Reuven is dead, and they're collecting from the estate of Reuven. So now they would have to make a shvua to the orphans of Reuven, to his yarshim, that their father never told them that this was a paid-off debt, that this was a shtar that can't be collected. So they would just have to attest to that, they would have to swear to that, and then be allowed to go collect, but they would have to make such a shvua. However, Amar Azrika, Amar Yehuda, he says, they only said that, lo shanu, ella shamru yisomim. They only said this if the Yisomims say, Amalonu abolovisi uparati. If Reuven's Yisomim said, yes, our father did make that borrowing from you, our father did borrow money from your father. However, Reuven's Yisomim, his Yarshim, say, but he paid it back, uparati. In that situation, where they're impugning the shtar, they don't have proof, but they're saying, our father told us that he paid the shtar back. And therefore, in that situation, they can demand that the orphans of the person who lent their father Reuven the money should have to make a shua in order to collect with that shtar. But if they were to say Aval Amru, Amru Lano Abba Lola Visi, but if they were to say their father had told them that, you know, that guy claims to have lent me money. He never lent me money. That's a made-up shtar. That's a fake shtar. I don't know how he's claiming that. I never borrowed money from him. If the orphans of Reuven were to say that, so then Af Bishvua Loivro. In that situation, the orphans of the man with the shtar coming to collect that IU wouldn't be allowed to collect because the orphans are claiming that their father never, in fact, borrowed the money. That is what Rav Zrika Amar Rav Yehuda qualifies this Mishnah in Shavuos. On the other hand, Maskler Rava totally disagrees with that. Rava says, Adarabba, you're exactly opposite of what you're saying is correct. If, in fact, the Reuven's orphans, Reuven's inheritors, the one Reuven borrowed the money from the other person, and Reuven's orphans say that their father said that there never was such a loan, that's a fake document, so then call Homer Lolovisi. If they claim that their father clearly said, I never borrowed money from that guy, so then Omer, it's as if he's saying, Lo Parati, dummy. You never could have paid it back if you don't agree that you owed it in the first place. So by their admitting that in fact their father told them he never borrowed money from that person, so they're also basically admitting that their father never paid that person back. And therefore, he's coming with a shtar. The orphans on his behalf are coming with that shtar. That's a legitimate shtar. It's an authorized shtar. So then they're essentially saying that their father never paid back that shtar. So Adarabba, Rava says, in that situation, absolutely, they could collect even without a shvua. So in that situation, they certainly can go and collect. Ella, eat my hachi, eat my. So, if in fact Rav Zrika said something in Rav Yehuda, it can't be what you just said in the Gemara. It must be the following: Amr Rav Zrika, Amr Rav Yehuda. This is what Rav Zrika, Amr Rav Yehuda really must have said. Lo shanu. We said that the orphans of the man who lent the money would be entitled to go and collect it with a shvua. Lo shanu el shamu yisomim. If the yisomim of Reuven had said, "Amar lanu abul avisi parati," in that situation where they claimed that their father did in fact borrow the money, Reuven did borrow the money, but Reuven told them that it was paid back. So in that situation, the orphans of the person who lent the money would only be allowed to go and collect if they made a shvua. However, abul amru amar lanu abul olavisi. So it's as if he said, in that situation, lo parati. If they claim that the father said, "I never lent." Never borrowed money from that person. So they're also essentially saying, as we pointed out a minute ago, Ka'omer, lo parati dami. So then, nifram shalom b'shvua. Then the orphans of the person who lent the money has a valid shtar, are not even obligated to make a shvua when they collect the money. Because, as I just pointed out, Ka'omer, lo lavisi, Ka'omer, lo parati dami. Because if you admit that you never borrowed the money, you obviously are also admitting that you never paid it back. Nobody would pay back something which they claimed they never borrowed. Then we quote the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, "V'nifras shelo b'fonav." If the woman wants to go collect her ksuba from her husband, let's say the husband divorced her, and the husband is in Medina Sayam, and she needs to collect her ksuba, so in that situation, she's only allowed to collect her ksuba lo tipara ela b'shua. She has to go make a shua that her husband hasn't already paid the ksuba in order for her to be able to collect it. Amar Rav Acha, Sar Habira, Rav Acha, who was the Sar Habira. Rashi says this is a kinui. This was his name, known as the Sar Habira, the officer of the Bira. So we have like Shushan Habira, the capital city, or it means an important place. So in any event, Rav Acha Sar Habira said, "Maisa bo lefnei Rav Yitzchak b'Antuchya." There once was a story, a maisa that happened with Rav Yitzchak in Antuchya, and he said, "V'Amar lo shano." We only said this din that the woman must collect her ksuba in that situation with a shvua if the husband is a bedin mesayan, ella the ksuba sisha. That's only she's coming to go collect her ksuba, mishum chinah. And the reason we do that is because we allow the woman to go collect even though the husband's not there, the ex-husband's not there, because in this way women will be encouraged to go get married. They'll know that even if the husband runs away, they'll still be able to go collect their ksuba from the properties that he has extant back in the hometown where they are. So the husband can't run away and leave her high and dry. That's the way Rashi understood this previously. Mishum Mechina is to encourage the women to get married. Alternatively, Tosus there had said a few days ago that China means a similar idea, but it means that the woman will be able to collect their ksuba and be therefore better able to go get remarried again because they'll have a certain financial stability, and therefore men will be more desirous of marrying them. So therefore, Mishum China means that the women will allow the women to go collect their ksuba even though the husband's not there with a shvua. However, this doesn't work for anybody else. He said, Avo Baal Chov Lo. But a person who wants to collect the Baal Chov, so Rav Acha Sar Habira says, no, that we don't allow. A creditor, somebody who says, listen, that guy owes me money. Well, if the guy's not there, he's been Medina Sayam, so we'll have to wait till he comes back in order for you to collect. We don't allow you to collect from him, even if you're going to make a shvua, when he's not there. On the other hand, Rav Amar Nachman disagrees. He says, no, afilu Baal Chov. We even allow a Baal Chov to go and collect. Why? Because shlo yei kol echa v'echa, no tel ma'osu v'shel chaveru, v'holuch yosh b'dina sayam. Because if you were to not allow the Baal Chov to go collect from the guy when he's not there, the loan note is due, it's past due, he wants to go collect it, but the guy that he lent the money to is off somewhere. So this would therefore discourage anybody from lending money again in the future. They'll know if the guy runs away with his money, he'll never be able to get it back. The guy has huge properties over here, but he borrowed $100,000 from him to go buy property someplace else, and now he's not coming back. He just stole $100,000 from the guy. So nobody's going to ever want to lend money to people because they're afraid that the guy will run away, you won't be able to collect the debt. So therefore, Rav Amar Rav Nachman says, in order to prevent this idea of Noel Delis but Neglovim, to prevent poor people from being able to get loans, so the rabbis allowed even a creditor to go and collect a debt when the person who is owing him the money is in the Medina Sayyam. So you have a basic machlokus over here between Rav Acha Sar Habira and Rav Amar Rav Nachman, whether this idea that you can collect the debt when the owner is not there applies only to the ksuva of the woman, as Rav Acha Sar Habira said, or it applies even to a Baal Chov, as Rav Amar Rav Nachman said. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with the Tanakhama. Kol Zman Shetovas Ksubas Mechule. And Rabbi Shimon had said that if she's asking for a ksuba, so then the yorshim of her husband are allowed to go and ask her to make a shua. But if she's not collecting her ksuba, then they're not allowed to go and make her make a shua that she hasn't been paid off. Okay, now, Rabbi Shimon is going against somebody, but which part of the previous Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon going against? Rabbi Shimon, ahai. Which part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon disagreeing with? So we'll have several different interpretations, and we start off with Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, aha, goes on this part of the Mishnah. The Tanakhama had said, v'nifras shelo b'fanav, lo tipara el b'shvua. What we just went through. The Gemara said that if the woman wishes to collect her ksuba and her husband's not there, so then she must make a shvua before she can collect her ksuba that she wasn't paid off already. And this is true, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, the Tanakhama holds lo shnor lemizone velo shnor leksuba. This doesn't make any difference as to what she's trying to collect. Even if she's trying to collect the mizonos, she's entitled to collect mizonos. Her husband Nebuch passed away, she's entitled to collect mizonos. So in this situation, once she's asking for mizonos, so then the orphans, the yarshim, have the right to go and ask her to say, listen, did our father, your husband, did he leave you money anywhere? And you're supposed to be taking from that bank account that he left you instead of you coming to us to go and pay your mizonos. And certainly, if she's collecting the ksuba, so they have the right to ask her to make sure that she wasn't already paid off. That's what Rav Yirmiyah says the Tanakhama's opinion is. And that Rabbi Shimon argues. Also, Rabbi Shimon Meimer, and along comes Rabbi Shimon, and he disagrees. And he says, no. If she's coming to collect the ksuba, so then the yarshim, now we have the gears of yarsheha, which doesn't make any sense, because why would her yarshim go and make her make a shvua? So the gears of the Mishnah is yarshim, so that's the more correct gears over here. Yarshim mashbin osa. Then, when she's coming to collect the ksuba, Rabbi Shimon says, I agree that the yarshim have the right to go and ask her to make a shvua, that she wasn't paid off already, that he didn't designate some funds for her or pay her off already with the ksuba. We turn to Peches and Banks. However, if she's not tovas her ksuba, ain't no tovas ksubasa, in that situation, ain't yarshim mashbinosa. Here we clearly have the gears of yarshim. Ain't yarshim mashbinosa. Then the yarshim don't have the right to go and make a shvua to go collect the mizonos. If she's not going to ask for her ksuba, so then the yarshim don't have the right to make her make a shvua. Now, what are the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon arguing about? So the Gemara says, "V'komiflegei bepluksa." This machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon is identical to the machlokes that we have between the Chanan of Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, that Chanan, who was a Tana, and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, who are Tanoim as well, had the same machlokes. Where would you see this? This is a Mishnah we'll have later in the Masechta in a week or two. And this is the Tanan we learn later on in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalid Omud Beis, Misha Halach L'Medina Sayam. If a man goes over the seas, he goes to the Medina Sayam, he's far away, the Ishto Tovas Mizonos, and the wife is demanding Mizonos. She says, listen, I need to be supported. So Chanan Omer, Tishova Basov, Velo Tishova Batchila. Chanan says that she doesn't have to make a Shvua right now to collect the Mizonos, because if and when she comes to collect the Ksuba, at that point in time, she will make a Shvua that she wasn't paid off. So at that point in time, she'll make the shvua, and it will go retroactively on this as well. But right now, we don't make her make a shvua. Now, this is exactly like the position of Rabbi Shimon, as we'll see in a second. And nechlik wola b'nei kohanim gedolim. But the b'nei kohanim gedolim disagree with Chanan. The Amru, they say, no, tishava tchila and basov. She has to go make a shvua now if she wants to collect mizonos, and she has to make a shvua when she wants to go collect her ksuba. Because in this situation, you're not allowed to go collect from Yisomim without going and making a shvua. Now, we're dealing here with the husband being in Medina Sayam, so obviously there's going to be a problem. Why are the Yarshim involved over here? And that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. So we'll have to address that. Rabbi Shimon clearly holds Kechadon, like I just said. Rabbi Shimon holds that you only make a shvua over here when she's coming to collect her ksuba. That's exactly the opinion of Chadon. And the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon, they hold that, in fact, you have to make a shvua whether you're coming to collect the ksuba or even you're coming to collect mizonos. Oh, that's kibnei kohanim gedolim. That's exactly in accord with that opinion. So we want to line up Chanan and Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama with the opinion of bnei kohanim gedolim. The Gemara says that that doesn't fit in with the words. Maskepel Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, "Hai yarshim mashbiyon." So why are the yarshim making any sort of a requirement for her to make a shvua? the husband's alive at this point. It's based in Mashbino Sobi Baile. If this was, in fact, what Rabbi Shimon was arguing on, he shouldn't have said the Yarshin or Mashbino Sa. He should have said based in Mashbino Sobi Baile because the husband's still alive. So therefore, this Girsa doesn't fit in with what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying. And therefore, Rav Sheshet says as follows, El Omer Rav Sheshet, this is how I understand Rav Shimon is the Machlokes. It's aha. Rav Shimon is arguing with the following opinion that we had earlier, and that was, Holcha mikever bala lebeis aviyah. Rechmon al-Islam, the woman's husband dies, and she goes straight to her parents' house after the funeral. So she doesn't live anymore in her husband's, her now dead husband's house. She goes to live back with her father's house. Or she does go back to her own house, which we said they used to have the custom that they live by the husband's parents. So she goes back to Lebeis Chamiya, which is her husband's, her dead husband's house, which is her father-in-law's house. But they didn't make her in any way a administrator over the possessions of the estate. So therefore, there's no way or reason that they can demand a shua from her. So therefore, in that situation, the Tanakhama held, Ein Hayorshin Mashbino Sa, they can't go and force her to make any sort of a shvua that she hasn't collected her ksuba or mazonos. The Imnasis Apotropia, but if they did say, listen, you know our father's finances very, very well. You've been his life partner for all these years. You know his business. So you continue to run the household. You continue to run the business. So if she is appointed to be the COO of the estate, so then the Arshim Mashbino Sa Ala Asilo. If the husband has said that I exempt you from making a shvua, so that stays. So they can't impose a shvua on her for anything she did in the past. However, Mikanu Lahaba, that the Yarshim have a right to say, listen, we're appointing you now to be the apotropos, so from here on in, if we want to make you make a shvua to say that you've been managing things properly, haven't been skimming off the top, so then you have to make a shvua for us. However, when they do make her make a shvua, it can't be Megalgel, they can't roll it back and have her make a shvua on anything that the husband had said she won't have to make a shvua on. Ve'imashbino so amasha avar. That's what the Tanakhama holds, that if the husband said, you don't have to make any shvua to me, so then that's it. She doesn't have to make any shvua any point in time for the past. But if the orphans are now appointing her to be an apotropos, so then they have the right to say, mikan ulahaba, you're going to have to make a shvua. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. And on that, Rav Sheshet says, also Rabbi Shimon l'meimar, on that, Rabbi Shimon comes along to say, kos man shetovas subasa, if she now wants to take her ksuba and move on with her life and leave the house and maybe get married again. So then, Yorshin Mashbino. So then they have the right to go make a shvua on her, based upon what we said, that you can't collect from the Yorshin the ksuba unless you make a shvua. So in that situation, Yorshin have the right to be Mashbino. So, however, Eino Tovas Subasa, but if she doesn't ask for a ksuba, Eina Yorshin Mashbino. So they don't have the right to make her make a shvua, even Mikanu Lahaba, on being an apotropos, because the husband had said that you're not going to have to make any shvua. So, therefore, Rabbi Shimon holds, unless she's asking for a ksuba, she won't have to make a shvua. Now, why is this so? Why should the husband saying that you don't have to make a shvua for him, why should that continue and go on for the Yarshim? After all, isn't it now acceptable to say, Mikanu Labo, you have to make a shvua? Shmuel says no, because Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are arguing about a different machlokus, which we now introduce. This is a machlokus with Abishol the Rabbanon that we're about to say. This is a Mishnah in Kittin, which says over there, it depends who appoints the wife as the apotropos. So if the husband appointed the wife as the apotropos, so then Rabbi Shimon would say, that's included, so to say, in that the husband said you're not going to have to make a shua. I'm appointing you. He says, if I die, I want my wife, I want your mother or your stepmother to go, he tells the Yarshim, to go and run the estate. And therefore, I'm appointing her, the husband said, during his lifetime, he's appointing her to be in one in charge of the estate. So therefore, the Tanakh, we learned in this Mishnah in Gittin, in Apotropos Sheminohu Avi Yisomim, if the dead father, slash the dead husband, he was the one that appointed the wife to go be the Apotropos, so then the Tanakhama in this Mishnah holds Yishava, that they can demand her to go make a Shvua. However, Minu Beistin, if the Beistin were the ones who appointed her, or in another situation, him, to be the Apotropos, then lo yishava. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. And this is based upon the fact that if the father appoints her to be the apotropos, or appoints anybody to be the apotropos, so then the person is doing this out of a kindness to the father slash the husband in this situation, and therefore wouldn't be upset about making a shvua. When Beis Din goes and appoints you, she said, listen, I'm not going to do this if you're going to make me make a shvua, so nobody's going to want to be an apotropos. So the Tanakhama says, if Beis Din appoints you, we free you up from having to make a shvua. Minu Beis Din, lo yishava. Whereas the man, if he appointed, he's going to his friend and says, listen, do me a favor, be the apotropos. The friend will say, yes, no problem. The wife will say, yes, I'll be the apotropos. Oh, I have to make a shvua? No, I'll make a shvua. I'll do you a favor. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Abba Shaul says, pum fakert. Abba Shaul says the exact opposite. Abba Shaul omer chilof advarim. It's the exact opposite. Minu Beis Din. If the Beis Din comes and appoints you, then the orphans can demand yishava, because it's a big zechus to be appointed by Beis Din. Out of all the people in the town, Beis Din says, you're the most trustworthy, so we want you to be the guardian of the estate. Oh, that's a big kavod. So therefore, nobody will be upset in that situation if they're asked to make a shua. And therefore, yishava, the din is yishava. However, Mino avi yisomim, if the father, the dead husband over here, the dead father, he was the one that appointed the person to be the apotropos, to be the guardian of the estate, he asked his wife to take over the estate, so then lo yishava. Then, in that situation, you don't have to make a shvua. The understanding is, he appointed somebody that he says is absolutely trustworthy. He wouldn't have appointed somebody that wasn't trustworthy, and therefore we don't demand a shvua. So what do you see? You will line up over here. Rabbi Shimon is exactly like Abba Shaul. Rabbi Shimon and Abba Shaul say, in this situation, the father appointed her to be the guardian of the estate. Her ex-husband, her dead husband, Nebuch, appointed her to be the guardian of the estate, and you don't have to make a shvua. That's Rabbi Shimon. That's Abba Shaul. However, the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon, aligned with the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama of Abba Shaul, that say, no, only when Beis Din appoints you do you not make a shvua, but if the husband slash the father over here appointed you, then since you will do it anyway out of love for him, so you can make, the orphans can make a, the person make a shvua, can make the wife make a shvua. So this is Rabbi Sheshes' understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. Abaye does it like this. Maskel Abaye, Abaye says again, the language here doesn't fit with what you're saying. Hai kozman shetovaz ksuba, the language that we use over here was all the time that she wants her ksuba, then they can give, make her make a shvua. It should have said im tovas b'boile. The proper language should have been im tovas and not kozman shetovaz. Rashi explains, in Dibra Maskel, hai kozman shetovaz, since Rabbi Shimon is the more lenient opinion over here, what does it mean, kozman? That implies that he disagrees with the Tanakhama, is more machmir with the Tanakhama. It should have used the Lashon, if you're correct, Rav Sheshes, it should have said, im tovas, if she were to go and want to ask, get a ksuba. So then, in that situation, and only in that situation, is more makel than the Tanakhama. So the Lashon should have been im tovas, and not kozman she tovas. So therefore, Abaye doesn't like Rav Sheshes' answer, and he says, "Elo Abaye, this is the way you understand the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama." It goes on the following statement in the Mishnah that we had previously as well. Kos av lo, if the husband writes a note to his wife, or he said verbally as well, kos av lo, he writes a document to his wife, and he says, "You're not going to have to make a shvua to me. Neder shvua ein li olayach. You don't have to make a shvua to me. I give you a document here that says, under no circumstances will I ask him to make a shvua to go collect." So, then we said, of course, he can't go and make her make a shvua, albeit in that situation, we said the Yarshim could go and make her make a shvua. But if he says, Nadir shvua ain li, below liyarshai, below laboim b'shusi, if he says, I won't make you make a nadir shvua, and neither will I ask my Yarshim or anybody that's coming on my behalf, if he had sold something, so then those people that were now going to have to pay, they would also be able to normally demand that you make a shvua. So he says, no, I'm telling you, this is not something you're ever going to have to make a shvua on. Not for me, not for my yarshim, not somebody coming in my behalf. Alayich, on you, and likewise, v'al yorshayich, upon your descendants, v'al abayim b'shusech, or if you sell your ksuba on anybody that's coming to collect on your behalf, ein yochel eshbia. So if he said this, so then nobody can make her make a shvua. Lo hu? Not him, lo yarshim, not his yarshim, lo abam b'shusu, not anybody coming on his behalf. And they can't make her make the shua, lo he, not lo yarsha, not her yarshim, lo abam b'shusu, anybody coming on her behalf as well. So that was the statement of the Tanakhama. also Rabbi Shimon, and now Rabbi Shimon is coming Lameimah to go and argue with that and say no. Calls man shetovas ksuba so if she's asking for a ksuba, then the yorshim mashbiyanusa, then they do have a right based upon the principle that we expressed earlier that if you're collecting from Yisomim, Abba Sholit said that you're allowed to go and demand a person to go and make a shvua. If you're collecting from Yisomim, Abba Sholit said, no, the din shouldn't be like that, but the rabbis instituted that if you're ever collecting from Yisomim, you have to make a shvua. And that's exactly what they're arguing about. Rabbi Shimon holds the Komifli Bipluksa, the Abba Sholit Ben Ima, who we had previously, Ben Ima Miriam, the Rabbanan. So this is a machlokas that we had the other day between Abba Sholit Ben Ima Miriam and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon aligns perfectly with Abba Sholit. Rabbi Shimon ki Abba Sholit. Rabbi Shimon holds that only if she's asking for a ksuba can they ask her to go and make a shua. Abba Sholit said the same thing, that the halach is, the rabbis are masakin, that if you're coming to collect from orphans, we always make you make a shua. The Rabbanan over here in the Mishnah who are arguing with Rabbi Shimon are also the same Rabbanan that argue with Abba Sholit ben Ima Miriam. And they say, no, that if the father said, under no circumstances are you going to have to make a shvua, not for me, not for my Yarshim, not to you, not to your Yarshim, etc. So then that works, and we don't apply the takana that Abba Sholit ben Ima Miriam had said. So that's what, according to Abayi, the machlokas is between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. And again, Rav Papa doesn't like this. Maskel Rav Papa. Rav Papa says no. Hotenach kol zman shetovas ksubasa. So that works out well if she's going to ask for a ksuba. But eino tovas ksubasa, ma'ikol meimar. But the second part of Rabbi Shimon's statement, Rabbi Shimon has said, if she asks for a ksuba, you can ask for a shvua. But if she doesn't ask for a ksuba, the second part of his statement, eino tovas ksubasa, then they can't make her make a shvua. Who's that going on? Ma'ikol meimar. Where is that a machlokas? What's that going on? So Rav Papa says, in that situation, Elam Rav Papa, you know what you have to say? It's going on another machlokas. The second part of Rabbi Shimon's statement is Lafuke midi Rabbi Eliezer umachlokuso. We had previously as well, the shir yesterday, the machlokas between the Tanakhama, who said that if the woman is appointed as an apotropis or as a chenvanis, in that situation, the husband can demand the shua at any point in time. And Rabbi Eliezer said, not only that, Rabbi Eliezer said, even if she's just in charge of pilcha, her spindle, or she's just in charge of the dough, of the challah, in that situation, so he can demand that she make a shua. So the second part that Rabbi Shimon had said, that if she doesn't ask for a ksuba, then she doesn't have to go and make a shua, so that goes against both of these opinions, the Tanakhama, as well as Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Shimon was arguing with both of them in the second part of the statement, and the first part of the statement, it's the machlokas between Abba Sholit ben Ima Miriam and the Chachamim. It's early still, so let's go on a little bit weiter. We'll do the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah begins and says, Hotziya get the enimo kisuba, if the woman takes out her get, but she doesn't have the ksuba. We turn to Pei Tes Omud Aleph. The Mishnah continues and tells us, Gove ksubasa, she is allowed to go and collect the ksuba, even though she doesn't bring forth the ksuba, as the top Rashi says, Veni ocha liton, the husband can't say, Pratich, I paid you back. V'chazarta li shtar ksubasech, and you gave me your ksuba, ukrativ, and I ripped it up. Mishum detznai ksuba, maisid beisdin. Even though she only has a get, and doesn't have the ksuba, and the husband can legitimately say, hey, I paid you for this, and I ripped it up. But Rashi puts out a very important idea here. He says, Mishum detznai ksuba maisei beisdinu, that this ksuba entitlement is something that beisdin said. And therefore, mehocha enaf kluam bevav metzia, and we learn this in the Gemara bevav metzia, hatoin achar maisei beisdin. If you're going to argue something that goes against a maisei beisdin that we normally assume took place, so then, in that situation, lo amar klum, your taina is worthless. Why? Because my taima kol maisei beisdin keman denokit shtar dami. It's as if she has the shtar in her hand, even though you claim she gave it back to you when you paid it and you ripped it up. But since you don't have any proof of that, she's allowed to go collect her ksuba. Misha continues and says, what happens if she just comes with the ksuba, the enimo get, but she doesn't have the get? Normally, when a woman is divorced, she wants to collect ksuba, she shows the get, they pay her the ksuba, and they rip up the get, or they tear the get. So here she comes without the get. So she has the ksuba, the enimo get. So she says, Hiomeres, I lost my get, avad giti. I got a get, I lost it. I want to collect my ksuba, I never got my ksuba. The get wasn't torn up, I just lost it though. Hiomer, avad shovi. He says, I knew this would happen. I got a receipt, and I unfortunately lost the receipt that I paid the ksuba already. So each of them is claiming something. She's claiming she lost the get. He's claiming he lost the receipt. And likewise, in a case where you have a Baal Chov, not a husband and wife with a ksuba, Baal Chov shows his shtar chov. You have Reuven that brings out a shtar chov that Shimon owes him money. Shimon, you owe me $100. I lent you $100. Here's the IOU. You owe me $100. Reuven tells that to Shimon. Now, this is very appropriate as we enter into the week of Rosh Hashanah that you have to write a Prizbul this year. It's the end of the Shemitah year. We paskin that you write the Prizbul at the end of the Shemitah year. As I mentioned previously, there are those opinions that say he should have written a Prizbul last year at the start of the Shemitah year. But we paskin that you write the Prizbul at the end of the Shemitah year. So this guy needed to write a Prizbul because the loan isn't going to be paid until after the year is over, until after the Shemitah year is over. And therefore, he comes with an IOU, but he doesn't have the Prizbul, and he's trying to collect it after the Shemitah year is over. They need more Prizbul. So in this situation, the person who he's trying to get the money from can say, sorry, buddy, the Shemitah is mishametes, the loan. The Shemitah does away with the loan, and I don't have to pay you. So in both of these situations, with the woman trying to collect the ksuba, and the IOU, the person who's owed money, trying to collect it without a Prizbul, so the woman doesn't have her get, and the person with the IOU doesn't have a Prizbul, the Mishnah tells us, Hare Elu Lo Yiparu. They don't get their money unless they can bring the get and or the Prizbul. Along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he qualifies this. He says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, it depends. Min asakon ve'eilech, as Rashi explains over here, Nebuch, there were times throughout our history, shegozru ovdei kochovim al hamitzos. The goyim said, don't do the mitzos, or we're going to kill you. And the people were terrified to hold on to the get because that meant that they were following Jewish law for marriage and divorce. And if you had a get on you, they would kill you. Likewise, the Prizbul. So what would they do? They would go and get the get. The get has to be given still, and they would burn it right away. It would be gone. And likewise with the Prizbul. They would write the Prizbul, but they would then burn it, so they couldn't be caught with it and persecuted. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Min hasakana ve'eilech, from that time on, and this goes even when it's not a sakana, I mean a sakana ve'ela, from that time of sakana, and forever afterwards, isha govek subasa shaloba get. A woman can go collect the suba without the get, because there was a time that they argued that they burnt the get, and that's why she doesn't have it. And likewise, ubachov govek shaloba prizbul, because it was a time when they would burn the prizbul, because they were terrified of having it on them, so therefore they're both believed. The woman is believed to say she had a get, and the man is believed to say that he wrote a prizbul, and each of them can collect. That's what Rosh Hashanah Gamliel tells us. Now we go to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shema mina, you see from our Mishnah, kosum shover. You see that we do write a receipt, a shover for somebody. Now this is a big machlokas that we have in the Gemara elsewhere. The Gemara elsewhere in Baba Basra has a whole discussion as to what happens if somebody owes money. So Reuven lends Shimon money, like we've been saying, and Shimon admits it. And he says, okay, I want to pay you back. Give me back my IOU. And Reuven says, I'm sorry I lost it. So now, there's two possibilities. Shimon can say, I'm not paying you back, even though I know I admit I owed the money, until you give me back the loan document, because I'll pay you back now, and then all of a sudden, 2 years from now, you're going to come with the loan document, and I won't have a receipt. I write him a receipt. He says, I don't want to have the responsibility of holding on to a receipt. If I lose that receipt, then I'm dead in the water. So therefore, if you can't give me back the loan document, I don't have to take a receipt, and I'm not going to pay you. That's one possibility. We don't paskin like that. We paskin, however, that we do write a receipt. And the person can be forced to take a receipt. Listen, you're admitting you owe the money. The guy says he lost his IOU. You're admitting you owe the money. So pay the money. We'll give you a receipt. And this way, if he ever brings out the loan document, you show the receipt to the base, then you won't have to pay twice. Ah, you may lose it. Sorry, he did you a favor by lending you the money, so you have to accept the receipt. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara above the Basra. So the Gemara says, Shema mina, let us bring a raya to the opinion that Kosin Shover, our Gemara seems to say that we wrote him a receipt. So in this situation, she's allowed to go and collect her ksuva when she doesn't have the ksuba. She just showed him the get. So he's going to bring out the ksuba later on. So therefore, he can ask to have a receipt written. And even if he doesn't want to, he has to accept the receipt. So therefore, the Gemara says, let's bring a right for me, Shmami no Kosim Shover. Because he ain't Kosim Shover, because if in fact he had the right to say, no, I don't want to accept the Shover. You either bring me the Ksuba and I rip it up, and I don't have to worry about you collecting it a second time, or else I'm not paying you. Leichosh, in that situation, Dilma Mafkalo Ksubasa Vagaviba. Because if we didn't force him to take the receipt, so then we'd have to be concerned. Leichosh, we're concerned. Dilma Mafkalo Ksubasa Vagaviba. You know what's going to happen? Right now, she's collecting it because he divorced her. But she'll be smart. She knows he's unfortunately very ill, and he's going to die in a year or two. And therefore, she says, I'll wait till he dies, and then I'll bring out the ksuba and say, I never got the ksuba. I'm not a divorcee. I'm a widow. Obviously, I don't have a get. I'm not a divorcee. And I'll bring out my ksuba, and I'll collect it a second time. So obviously, to prevent this, we obviously force him to take a receipt, because we do allow her to go and collect the ksuba based upon the get that she has. So let us bring a riot from here that you do force somebody to take a shover. So Rav disagrees. Amar Rav, he says, no, you can't bring a riot from our Mishnah, because you know what our Mishnah is talking about? Our Mishnah is talking about B'makom Shein Kosim Ksuba Askina. We're dealing with a place where they didn't write a Ksuba. Not every place wrote a Ksuba. The Ksuba was automatically in effect, but not every place wrote a Ksuba. So therefore, in places where they didn't write a Ksuba, that's why we allow the woman to go and collect with her get, because there is no Ksuba. And there is no concern. But you can bring me right, therefore we forced the husband to take a shover for the value of the ksuba. Shmuel disagrees. Ushmuel amar, af b'malkum shekosim ksuba, even in a place where they did write a ksuba, our Mishnah can be understood. And therefore, the Gemara says, Ushmuel kosim shover. Must be therefore the Shmuel is of the opinion that we can force the person to take a receipt. The Gemara says, lav dafka. Amar Ravanan says, I myself, ladidi, I myself heard Shmuel explain what our Mishnah is talking about, and you can't bring it as a raya that we write a shover. Why? Because our Mishnah says, is b'makom she'ein kosim, in a place where the minog was not to write a ksuba, and yet the husband said, v'yomar kasati, I wrote a ksuba. The minog here is not to write a ksuba. It's not wrong to write a ksuba, but the minog here is that they didn't write a ksuba, but I wanted to make sure, and I wrote my wife a ksuba. So in that situation, he says, I'm not paying her unless she brings me back the ksuba, so I don't have to pay for her twice. So then, if he can bring her raya that he wrote her ksuba, so then he'll be believed, and he doesn't have to pay her. But olav lahavi raya, he has to bring the raya. And if he can't bring her raya, so then, since the custom in that place was not to write a ksuba, so in that situation, we give him a receipt, because there's no downside. Most people didn't write a ksuba, so there's no concern that she'll bring out a ksuba. If you lose your receipt, you lose your receipt. Not the end of the world. However, b'makom shekosim, if it's a place where they did write a ksuba, and she says, yeah, in general they write a ksuba over here, but we agreed that I wouldn't have a ksuba. We were low on cash, and it cost money to write a ksuba, and I said, oh, I trust you, don't worry. You don't have to write a ksuba for me. So she says he didn't write a ksuba. And that's why I don't have a ksuba, I only have my get. So then, she has to bring a raya. If she brings a raya, then she'll be able to collect. But olel havi raya, and if she does bring a raya, so then the husband doesn't have to go and pay her unless she brings forth the ksuba. And our Mishnah, which said, as Rashi points out, v'chik tani mastisim govek subasa is shevi a raya shlo kosala. She does bring witnesses and said, yes, we were at the discussion at the chosin's tish, and everybody agreed that he wouldn't have to write her a ksuba, and we're witnesses. So she brings witnesses that he didn't write a ksuba. In that situation, she's allowed to collect. Otherwise, she wouldn't be allowed to collect without bringing forth the ksuba. So this is machlokas Rabu Shmuel. And then the Gemara says, v'af Rav hadabei. Rav changed his mind as well. As Rashi points out, Rav retracted. So he says that our Mishnah is not only talking about a place where they didn't write a ksuba, but it's talking about even that they did write a ksuba. The Amar Rav said, whether it's a place where they wrote the ksuba, whether it's a place where they didn't write the ksuba, if she produces a get, gova ikar, she's allowed to get the ikar ksuba, which is the mana or masayim that we've been talking about, the ikar ksuba. If she produces a ksuba, then she's entitled Govet Tosefes. Then she gets anything else that's written into the ksuba. Not the Mona Masayim, unless she has the get. So the get entitles her, going to Rav, to go and get the Mona Masayim. And if she produces the ksuba as well, then she would collect the Tosefes. Or if she just produces the ksuba, she only collects the Tosefes, because we have to be concerned that she had previously brought forth her get, they ripped it, and she collected already the Mona Masayim. And that's what Rav holds. And he says, V'chol Rosh L'Hoshiv, if you want to disagree with me, so then, come and disagree with me. Yavo v'yashiv. Prove to me why I'm not right. As Rashi says, De'en lochosh me'ato luklum. Rav holds that his answer here solves all the problems. More questions there. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, it said, ksuba, if she brings forth a ksuba, but not a get, the ain't imo get. So, he omeris of agiti. She says, I'm sorry, I lost my get, but that's why I have my ksuba. I never got my ksuba paid. That's why I still have my ksuba. He didn't take it because he never paid it. But the husband says, no, she didn't. She claimed she lost the ksuba. And they wrote me a shtar, a receipt, a shover. But I lost it. So each of them is claiming something was not done. She says, I lost my get. And he says, I lost my shover. Or in a similar case with the Baal Chov, the Chayim Baal Chov, he says, Shosi Shtar Chov, he brings out his Shtar Chov, the IU, Reuven says, look, I lent Shimon $1,000. The ain't my prosbul, but I lost my prosbul. So hey, Elo Yifro, in both situations, the woman who claims that she lost her get, husband claims he lost the shover. And in the case of the Baal Chov, who has a shtar, the IOU, that Shimon owes him $1,000, but he lost his prosbul, in both cases, the Mishnah said, Hare Elu Lo Yifro. Or Mishnah said that you can't collect in that situation. Now, this works out very well according to Shmuel, but it's a problem for Rav's new understanding. Bishlom Lishmuel, as Rashi says, in the Masa Bishlom Lishmuel, the Omar Bein Ikor, Bein Tosefes, Nifroim Apiget, Shmuel didn't make any distinction between the Ikor Ksuba, the Monim Asayim, and the Tosefes Ksuba. He said that if she brings her get, she collects it. So according to Shmuel, no problem. He would explain this Mishnah, Moki Lo B'Mokim Shein Kosim. He's talking, the Mishnah is talking about in a place where they didn't write a Ksuba under normal circumstances. The Omar Kasati, and here the husband said he did write a Ksuba. He went against the grain and he wrote a Ksuba. And in this situation, as we pointed out before, Jamrina Lay, we tell the husband, go bring a Raya, Icy Raya. If you bring a Raya that you wrote a Ksuba, so then she'll have to produce it in order to collect. Be a Lom Icy Raya, but if you can't bring a Raya, so then, why would we say that the minhag was changed? Amrin lei zil pari. And therefore, we have to assume that you didn't write it unless you can prove that you did, because the minhag is not to write it, and therefore, you have to go and pay the ksuba when she brings the get. So, Shmuel works out perfectly fine. That's how we would understand this. But according to Rav, we make a distinction between the ikar ksuba, which we pay with the get, and the tosefes ksuba, which we only pay with the ksuba itself. Elul Rav, nihi the ikar lo gavya. Granted, she's bringing forth over here just her ksuba, so we won't give her the ikar ksuba, the monim asayim, but why wouldn't we at least give her the tosefes ksuba? According to you, Rav, if she brings her ksuba, she gets the tosefes ksuba. So tosefes, mir tikbi. So how come our Mishnah says that she, hare ilu lo yifro? So Rav Yosef says, you know what we're dealing with over here? Hachum ayaskinon, kishe'en shom eide gerishin. We have no proof that this woman is divorced. If she doesn't have a get, the husband could theoretically say, I never divorced you. She doesn't have the edim that she was divorced. And migu, since we have a migu, the husband could have said a better lie if he wanted to lie. The yachal may have a little garishtia. You want to collect your kesuba? You're my wife. You're not entitled to collect your kesuba. You're married to me. Come home, dear. We're going home. So he could theoretically not pay the kesuba by saying that we're still married. And we turn to pay tes on the beis. And therefore, Yochol Meimah, we believe him when he has a less good lie. So we certainly should believe him when he says, Yochol Meimah, Gerashtia, I divorced her, and Vinosati Lo Ksubasa, and I did in fact go and pay her Ksuba, and therefore, that's why you don't have to pay it again. So Baruch Hashem, we did do another Omud. We're Baruch Hashem doing almost perfect for the upcoming Yamim Noraim and Sukkos, so therefore, we'll stop over here. We're in the middle of the sugya. We'll reiterate it, Amitz Hashem, when I dictate tomorrow, and we'll go over this last little piece and go right in this Gemara. With this, we conclude today's share.